Okay, well, again, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here today, and happy, like, summer temperatures, right? I know we've been experiencing kind of the dawn of the mosquito. I don't know if you were out yesterday, but mosquitoes were just crazy, and it's just good to be back in the warmer months. And I just want to kind of set up today a little bit before we dig in. We have a little bit of a special day that we're going to talk about today. Not only are we going to dig into Pentecost for a minute, but we're also going to have a little bit of a family conversation, as this tends to be sort of the tipping point in our congregation between one season and another, right? And so I want to just have a little bit of a family conversation. And if you're visiting with us today, I want you to know this is a little bit unique. Not super unique, but a little bit unique. And I think the things that I'm going to talk about today could very well apply to whatever context you're coming from, whether it's in North Dakota or Chicago or wherever you're from. I'm just so glad you're here, and I hope this conversation is beneficial for you. But it is a special day for us because not only have we welcomed these new members, but when you welcome new members as a church, you sort of celebrate another chapter, a new birth, if you will. It's an exciting time, and these new members, similar to a lot of you, have taken time to prayerfully consider, are they going to sort of align themselves with our local family, right? It's not a short journey. It is not necessarily long on our end, but to even come into the doors of any congregation and join that family, that's truly an inspiration from God. And you could say it's a new chapter. It's a new season. It's the birth of a new thing. And it reminds me, when we say the birth of a new thing, it reminds me of how exciting a delivery can be. You know, the delivery room at a hospital sometimes is a very, very, most of the time, is a very, very exciting place. Not only do you celebrate the birth of this new baby, but you're celebrating the culmination of anticipation for months and months, and maybe even, depending on the narrative, years of trying to have a child. And when that child comes out, not only is there the joy of prayerfully a healthy baby boy or girl, but also now anticipation of what's to come, right? So when there's a birth, it can be such a beautiful thing. And it reminds me of the deliveries of each of our four kids. We adopted several of our kids. We even were blessed to have a birth child as well. And each of their birth narrative, which I will not go into today, was super incredible. I remember every detail about every one of our kids because it was the birth of a new thing. If you've ever experienced that, you might know what I'm talking about. So delivery room can be an absolutely wonderful and beautiful place. And our text today talks about the birth of an incredible delivery. It's the birth of the church. That's what Pentecost Sunday is all about, the birth of the church. Pentecost Sunday celebrates the birth of the church, which happened some 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And I want to read about this today in Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles or your favorite Bible app, I want to encourage you to open those. We will also have the text on the screen. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 11. But the entire chapter of Acts 2 is remarkable and worth your time. Maybe it's later today, but you read the rest of it. But I just want to go through verses 1 through 11, and then we'll sort of summarize the entire chapter together. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 says this. When the day of Pentecost came, which, by the way, Pentecost was one of the key celebrations in Jewish culture. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place because there was this huge community celebration. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, they all said, 'We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. This is the moment. This is the birth of the church right now in this scripture. The day of Pentecost becomes the church, and frankly, it's the most important day in our church's history outside of the death and the resurrection of Christ. This is the day, the celebration of the birth of the church becomes the most important day for the church because it's the birthday of the church. And Jesus actually foreshadowed this back in Matthew 16. You remember when he was talking to Peter, he said, "Peter, I will build on you the rock, my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And so this was the moment when the promise was coming true. Jesus foretold it, and now we see the Holy Spirit come, descend upon the people in this incredibly charismatic moment, and everything changes. This is when the Holy Spirit would baptize them into the body of Christ and fill them with power and a vision that we still live in now, over 2,000 years later. And extraordinary things take place. And I want you to just focus on one part of one verse for just a minute. And I want you to look at what moved the people so much, because it says in verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And I guess the question I have for you today, dear friends, visitors, new members, when was the last time you declared the wonder of God? When was the last time that you took time out in whatever hard situation in your life, in whatever celebration you might be going through, in whatever serious situation with your family or your friends or your neighbors, that you took time to, in the middle of it, declare the wonders of God? Because when the people did it here, the church started. The Holy Spirit used this incredible gift of praising God to bring about something miraculous. Is there ever been such a simple discipleship opportunity just to praise God genuinely in the midst of our trials, our tribulations, and our celebrations? What we witness in Acts 2 changed lives. What happens is that Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, this is no longer the Peter that denied Jesus three times, right? You might remember that story during the crucifixion week. Peter was asked, "Do you know this man?" He denied him. He was weak. He gave up. But the Spirit now comes upon Peter. And so he stands up in Acts chapter 2 and he preaches what is certainly known as one of the most amazing sermons of all time. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he has access to God through the Holy Spirit, and he stands up to the crowd, and he preaches the good news of Jesus, that Jesus died for all people. And towards the end of the sermon, it says in verse 41, we won't put it up on the screen, but it says, those who accepted, listen to this, the message, they were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. What a conversion. What an evangelism moment. What an opportunity for the church to expand. The power of the Holy Spirit did a remarkable thing on that day, and the church was birthed. And it has to cause us to look at this text and say, what changes lives? What has the power to take our stubborn human nature and turn it and to make us different? To walk away from the sin and the failure and the baggage of the past. What changes our lives? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's all Peter did in Acts chapter 2, is he declared the goodness, the love of God through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It is Jesus Christ that has the power to change lives. It's Jesus Christ that has the power to birth something amazing. And the mission of the church, this mission that the church was called to today, is the same as it was 2,000 years ago, that we are called simply, my dear friends, to proclaim the wonders of God. We don't have everything figured out. We can't come up against culture and fight all the culture wars. We can't come up with a narrative for every painful situation that we see our friends going through, but we can certainly declare the wonders of God in all situations, as hard as it may be. And this may be a little bit of a stretch, but I think there's something really unique, really wonderful, and very interesting in this passage, that the scripture actually talks about how the power of the Holy Spirit had the nuanced reality of sharing the good news in each language. There's a nuanced reality to this scripture that every person who was in there were no barriers. God removed the hurdles from these people being able to hear the good news of Jesus. He made crooked paths straight, if you want to use some Old Testament language to it. He took away anything that could stop people from hearing the good news and then respond with a changed life. God literally did this. And New City has a very specific way, a language, if you will, of telling the same truth. We have a very nuanced way, our own language, right? This church, this beautiful place, this beautiful body of Christ, we have a nuanced way, a certain language that helps us tell and declare the wonders of God. And it comes out in our mission, vision, and values statement that we rewrote over a year ago as a congregation. I thought on this day when we celebrate not only the birth of the church global, but the new birth of new members coming in, that it would be a great day to review our mission, vision, and values document. I know you're so excited for this right now, right? We're going to make it a little bit of fun, okay? I'm actually going to give you a little bit of a test, but there's no shaming here, all right? There's no shaming here at all. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a test, and I'm going to give you multiple choice on each little category. We're going to start with the mission, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of different options, and you get to decide if you know what our mission, vision, and value statements are, okay? So, you can cheat. If you want to look at the website, you can, or if you have a document, that's fine. Okay, but let's talk about our mission statement first, okay? First of all, question number one. New City's mission statement includes the following. New City's mission is to help people in the suburbs of Edina. Can Edina have a suburb? I think it can, because that's how I'm going to name it now, okay? Is that one of them? Don't answer yet. New City's mission is to inspire people to celebrate good food after church. We like good food. We like the suburbs of Edina. Is that it? I don't know. This is our mission statement. New City's mission is to inspire people towards a specific political narrative. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was it? We could, you know, do that. Or is it New City's mission is to inspire people to find and follow Jesus? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to make a little noise today. So you got one, two, three, or four. You get to guess at the same time, so that if you're wrong, nobody will really know, depending on how loud you shout it, okay? One, two, three, or four. And on the count of three, your answer is one, two, three.
Four.
Four is right. Good job. Did anybody say number two? Because I wouldn't mind that being a part of our mission statement. No, New City's mission is to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And that word inspiration carries a lot of nuance, a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of prayer. But it's essentially telling of the wonders of God, okay? That's question one, and that's regarding our mission statement. Let's talk about our vision statement. We keep moving. New City's vision statement, now this is what you get to choose between one, two, three, and four. This one's a little bit more difficult. I made these a little more spiritual, okay? Just to try to trip you up a little bit. If you don't know it, you might have to guess. Now, question number two. Our vision statement is to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through Scripture and service. Through Scripture and service. Number two. To be a catalyst for Christ-like change through service and hospitality. Service and hospitality. Some of you are like, ooh, that sounds really good. Maybe that's it. Number three, to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community and generous service. Could that be it? Or number four, to be a catalyst of Christ-like change through community, service, and the Word of God. Okay, you're going to answer out loud. Okay, we're going to have a little fun. It's okay if you're wrong. There's no shaming. I just like you trying. One, two, three, or four on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Ooh, some good changes there. New City. Now, by the way, there's a lot of beautiful things up there, right? But what we've decided is that our vision is to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community and generous service. Right? That's, in fact, I think a nod to the past at this church, and a nod to the future, right? That we are a catalyst for Christ-like change, that God is always causing us to grow, that godly things grow, that's how it works, and we do that through authentic community and generous service. Okay, finally, number three, let's talk about our values for a minute. New City names four life-changing values in their mission, vision, and values document. They are A, hospitality, financial peace, charismatic worship, or loud preaching. It could be that one, amen, thank you. Or letter B, or number two, we value kids' sports camps. Bible study, international mission trips, and local political engagement. Ooh, some of you are like, is that where we're going? Just hold on. Or number three, being a welcoming community. Intentional investment in the emerging generation. Helping meet the needs of our neighbors. And being a bridge of unity in a divided and deconstructed world. On the count of three, which one do you like? One, two, three.
Three.
Number three it is. Those are our values. Our values. You know, we want to be a welcoming community. So that if you're new here, we want you to feel welcomed. And everybody owns that. This is the key to our church. That everybody owns everything on that list. That we don't just put the children's ministry workers in a corner and say, hey, you go do it. We're going to sit in here and just do our thing. No, every kid matters to this church. Every teenager matters to this church. When we celebrated three baptisms and a great confirmation Sunday just a couple weeks ago, that is a community investment, right? What else do we value? Helping meet the needs of our neighbors. That not only are we an Edina neighbor, but that we all have neighbors wherever we live. Remember, we said there's two sides of the one coin. So it's Edina, and it's where you live. It's both. That's what we're called to as a church. And finally, being a bridge of unity in a divided and deconstructed world. We don't have time for me to unpack this very much, but you know that everything that we deal with in our culture is deconstructing and dividing away from Jesus. What an opportunity to be a light on a hill and proclaim the wonders of God. This is who we are. This is what we do. Now, what I want you to do, this is a good time to take a quick breath. We only got about 12, 15 minutes left. I want you to take 1 minute, be a little intimidating. I know this is tough. And I want you to just turn to somebody next to you. And I want you to tell them one thing that you find compelling about either the mission, vision, or value statement. Ready, set, go. Somebody talk with Susan there too, okay? Go ahead, just 1 minute. Good to see you, man. Welcome to church. Yeah. Okay, let's bring it back together. Thank you for sharing. I know it's always weird to talk in church. I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you for sharing your heart. I would love for this not to be something that I own and then give to you, but it's something that we own together. That is really the model of our church. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit, but before I do, I just want to tell you that in 2024, back in January, we introduced what we called a thematic goal. A thematic goal is a short-term goal that we lean into for a season. And while the values of that thematic goal may go longer than just a year, it's still something that we're talking about right now. And here's what we named as our thematic goal. And some of you are aware of this, but if you're new to our church, I just want to name it. We are saying that 2024 is a year where we're preparing for growth. Preparing for growth. And anytime a pastor stands in front of a congregation and starts talking about growth, it can make people uncomfortable. It can make us excited, but also a little bit uncomfortable. Because we're not a mega church, clearly. We're a small community that God has called together. But I want to declare to you that according to Scripture, things that are aligned with God grow. Things that are aligned with Jesus grow. We see that in Acts 2. Because Jesus is always in the Holy Spirit is always in and about the business of changing lives. And so we are called to grow. And when I say growth, I want to be really clear about something, that these three new members represent some of the growth that's happening in our church, but there's also growth that's happening in each of us, that our hearts are growing, that we're getting closer to God. We're challenging each other week in and week out to reconcile, to have an identity in Jesus, like we talked about since Easter. These are the ways that we're calling each other to grow, that our spiritual practices that Jamie's going to talk about more next week, cause us to grow. We are called to grow. And if you're not growing, as your pastor, I lovingly say this, you're going the opposite direction. You need to be growing. That is what we are called to. And in our thematic goal of 2024 to prepare for growth, we've talked about four different ways that we're going to lean into this. We're going to start rebranding the public face of the church, right? That's our Sunday morning experience. That's our social media engagement. We're trying to get the word out. Okay, that's number one. We've also said that we want to define the wins for us as a church. So there's a group of us that are meeting to say, how will we know that we're succeeding, that we're getting after it, that we're doing good by the vision of the church? Let's define the wins. We've also said we're going to double down on children and youth ministry. And you're going to hear about an opportunity in just a minute that really leans into that. And we want to grow in our community engagement. We've been meeting with the city of Edina to find out ways that we can bless our neighbors. That's part of what prepare for growth looks like in 2024. And I wanted to keep that in front of you because we can't forget it. Now, with that in mind, I want to just kind of shift gears, okay? So I'm going to bring a stool up here, and I'm going to sit down because this is a visual between a little family business, right? Little family business where we're going to just sit down for a second, and we're going to talk about what does it look like to be connected to a church that's kind of preparing for growth. And if you give me just a few more minutes, I'd like to just have a little pastoral conversation with you about how we are called to engage in this season of our church. Because I feel, you know, I tell everybody about you all the time. I was at a retreat in Colorado for 2 days this week, and I couldn't wait to tell these dear friends that have been praying for me forever all about you. And while I feel like we have a ton of momentum, we're still at a critical moment of thinking through what does it look like for us to be in community together. And I've got four things that I want to very humbly submit to you to wrestle with, particularly as we start heading into summer, right? Because things change in the summer around here, right? And I want to encourage you to be thinking about your participation, your investment into this missional community. The first thing is this, four challenges. You can write them down on your phone. You can keep them to memory, however you want to engage them. But the first thing is this, I want to challenge you to commit this congregation to prayer. If we're not praying for each other, what are we doing? If we're not spending time interceding on each other's behalf for the different journey points that we're in, then we are missing a great opportunity. If we say we value authentic community, which I really believe we do, we've got to be praying for each other regularly. Is this daily for you? Is it weekly for you? Is there a monthly prayer effort that you lift up this church, its programs, the staff, the leadership team, your small group, the different people you're getting to know that are maybe new? How are you praying for people? Because when we pray, God works and God moves. So I want to encourage you to hold this as not just an obligatory value on a Sunday morning, but that we're praying for each other. Number two, I really believe that we are called to be generous. And being generous is very nuanced. You know, we've talked about money before, and you know the old church dynamic. Oh, here goes the pastor. He's about to ask for money. Actually, I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for you to be generous with everything that God has given you to steward. The same calling that's on my life is the same calling on yours. Everything you have is a gift from God. And your one job is to be a steward. Don't own it like it's yours. God gave it to you. Be generous with it. Not only your tithe, but your time. Your time is so important, and the way that you invest in each other is incredible. So be generous. And the third thing is I want to ask you, where you will serve in the next half of this 2024. We've got a lot of opportunities that are coming up as a church. We're not over-programmed, you know that. But there's opportunities. We need somebody to kind of help us think through how do we greet people on a Sunday morning. Maybe somebody here has the organizational gift to kind of assemble a group of greeters so that when somebody comes in our back door, which gets a little complicated, we're ready to greet them and serve them. It's a service role, right? We've got a transportation dynamic that's happening with one of our attenders. Maybe you're someone who can drive someone home from church on a Sunday morning, right? Maybe you want to sign up for Soul Food in the coming year. Maybe you've never done that before and it's a new thing for you. Maybe you want to serve with what Christine's going to talk about in just a minute. And the final thing is a hard one, but something I want to encourage you about, and that's it. That is this. I really believe that we need to be invitational. That there's people in our lives that it is waiting for an invitation. And I know that's hard. I know that's difficult for all of us, but when we invite people to be a part of what we're doing here, you never know what God might do with that invitation. That maybe they're just waiting to say yes to Jesus, and because you're like, hey, we're having a, you know, family barbecue on June 2nd at our church. You want to come? Maybe that invitation leads to new life in Christ. You never know what God will do when we're invitational. Who is the person you've been praying for? And when will you invite them to be part of our community? Healthy Things Grow. It's a growth opportunity for you to invite somebody to Jesus. And it's a growth opportunity for you and us as a church for you to invite them into our congregation. Now, I want to close today by just looking at a few opportunities that I want to give you to think about these kind of four principles, if you will, that we're called to pray for each other. There's a generosity culture here. We're called to serve each other and the church, and there's an invitational dynamic. But there's a couple things that we want to talk about today that are opportunities for you. And to start this up, I'm going to ask Christine to come up, and she's going to share about a really exciting MomCo opportunity.
Hi, good morning. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I've been here, a year and 5 months now. And when I came to New City as the kids director, I really came with open hands and I was asking God from the very beginning, what do the families of New City need? What does the community need? Like, where are you calling me into this? Like, what are you calling me to do, Lord? It was pretty clear to me pretty early on that I was being called to support moms. And so I didn't really know what that looked like. I had conversations with several of you. But this has been kind of going on in the back of my mind, praying about it, thinking about it, researching. What does that mean? What does that look like? Meanwhile, I was introduced to this study. This was several months around the same time from Barna that Barna just put out called, or didn't just put out, put out about a year ago called The State of Motherhood, where they did a lot of research on how moms are doing, and especially coming out of like the pandemic. And so you're probably not that surprised. Moms aren't doing incredibly well. Just like kind of nobody's doing really awesome, but moms are experiencing high rates of loneliness, disconnection, anxiety, stress about finances and marriage and relationships. This one I really didn't like. 81% of moms feel they aren't able to contribute meaningfully to the world. So I'm going to remind you that these are the people in charge of raising the next generation of people. So I did not like that statistic. So anyway, when we talk about reaching moms, we're talking about what we call exponential evangelism. Hmm. And what does that mean? That means when a mom comes to Christ, there's a pretty good chance her kids and her family and her community is going to follow. Like, moms are really have a lot of influence. They marketers know this, right? Like, people market to moms, right? They know moms make the decisions for the family. They know moms are, they like something, they're going to tell their friends. Like, we are heavily marketed to as moms. I know I keep talking about moms like they're someone else. I'm also a mom, just so you know. What if the church, so I was thinking about this, what if instead of selling moms a product, we get to encourage them and give them tools to be important parts of their community so they feel like they're making a difference in the world. So we are in Edina, and we may not be the flashiest, biggest church with the biggest programs in Edina, which I think just kind of goes to what Tim was just saying. But what we do have that I think is really needed is that we have authentic community and we have something to offer moms in our church, but certainly outside of our church. And so as I was thinking about, okay, what does this look like and praying, what kind of group do we start? I ended up kind of going this mom co-direction because I really like the framework they have of offering tangible, meeting tangible felt needs of moms, welcoming moms in, introducing them to Jesus, but really meeting them where they're at. What is concerning moms? What are moms already talking about? What are the concerns on their hearts? And meeting them there, building relationship, introducing them to Jesus, and welcoming them into our community. So let me see what else I had. They offer all the curriculum, it's a really good program. As a reminder, I will be having a little interest meeting after church today. So if you just want to learn more about being involved in that in any way, we need women with all kinds of gifts to help make this happen. This is definitely not something that can just be a Christine thing. This has to be other people getting excited and wanting to be a part of it. And like mentors, leaders, showing up, just willing to show up for every meeting, things like that. So I made a couple notes when Pastor was talking, and I was like, oh man, we are hitting, talk about welcoming community. Investing in moms is investing in the emerging generation. That was really hard for me to say. And also just meeting the needs of our community, because I think the moms in this is meeting the needs of our community. So I hope to see you after church. Bring your lunch. Come chat with me some more.
Awesome. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate your time. No, that's great. Thank you very much. Just to close up a couple things. Yeah, let's give her a hand. Awesome. Christine, also, thank you for your work with our kids. We really appreciate it. We love you and love your community that you're training up. What an opportunity this fall. We have 3 months to get this thing off the ground, and we need you. We need you to be invested. There may be even some men in the room who are like, hey, how can I help too? Talk to Christine. She may have an opportunity for you. We have an event coming up on June 2nd. Right? It's very similar to the Friends and Neighbors Thanksgiving event we did back before Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving. Remember, we had a packed out sanctuary with people that had never been to New City before, maybe some would never go to church. That's what we hope June 2nd is going to be. Who will you invite? Who will you invite? You know, when the pandemic hit, and this is not going to be any surprise to you, but COVID changed church attendance like crazy, right? Everybody went online. And so many people just found it super easy just to sit in their pajamas, drink their coffee, and watch church at home, right? We did that. So, I mean, I'm not judging anyone here, but it's really leaked over, right? It's 2024. We're 4 years or 3 years removed from that time, and it still kind of exists. I would just love to encourage you to think about this. If we're truly going to value being an invitational culture, and somebody, you know, they go through all the courageous, brave, you know, dynamic to invite somebody there, and then they bring them here, and we're like at 20 people, sometimes that can be a little awkward. I just want to ask you to consider, even this summer, how will you invest in our community, particularly when we're publicly gathered together? I won't name who it was, but I was so impressed last summer where one member of our church said, you know what, we just leave our cabin at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings because we want to be our church. And I know a lot of people have cabins. I'm not saying that's your thing. Maybe you do that once or twice a month. Maybe you come home early from the cabin just to be together and celebrate what God is doing on a Sunday morning. Another opportunity for you to consider. Two things to look forward to later this summer. We're going to be doing a first-time ever new members class on Sunday morning starting in August. I'll give you more details about that, but some of you, maybe you're thinking it's time for me to join, and maybe the midweek thing has been sort of a barrier with how busy we all are, so Sunday mornings might be an opportunity for you. And then I really want to encourage you, we major in small groups here. We have like 80% of our people involved in small groups at New City. And in the fall, we'll be kicking off probably another additional small group. Maybe even mixing some of our other small groups up. I'm not saying we're going to do that for sure. Just saying we're going to do our small groups. And maybe for you, it's a year to get involved in small groups as well. I talk about all these things because sometimes you just need to talk about family business. And if you're visiting with us today, I apologize to kind of drag you through all this, but I'm so glad you're here and that you're hearing the heart of the church come out. I love what God is doing. And everything that we do is guided by the Holy Spirit and these words around mission and vision that God has called us to. And so with that, I wanted to say God bless you. Thank you for being a part of our worship service today. Jamie, you can come on up with the worship team, and let's stand and let's pray, and then we'll sing one more song, and we'll go downstairs and eat some delicious food. So, Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the good word that you gave us in Acts chapter 2 that shows the history of the birth of the church. And 2,000 years later, more than 2,000 years later, God, we continue to follow your Spirit's lead as a family. Father, I ask that God, in the name of Jesus, you would grow in us a passion and a hunger for your Spirit, that you would grow for us a heart to be just like you, to love people into the kingdom, to love our children and our youth, to share with them the good news of Jesus, and to let the Holy Spirit change lives. Father, would you continue to give us a vision as a church, to grow as a family? We are so thankful to be together. We're so thankful for what you're doing here. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen.